And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope everybody's doing well out there on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Very interesting press conference yesterday with John Hines and David Poyle of the Nashville Predators. We'll spend a lot of the show getting to that today. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll have Kyle Phillips, Titans rookie wide receiver, coming up at 7:30. Of course, TD, Teron Davenport, at 8 o'clock as well. And as always, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how in the world are you? What's going on? It was a nice night in the world of sports last night. The Boston Celtics destroyed my Miami Heat. St. Louis wins on the road in Colorado. So Colorado is, in fact, human. And Tampa Bay Lightning with a buzzer beater last night to go up 2-0 on the road in the series. Pretty impressive night last night in the world of sports.
Well, I was going to ask you how you're doing because, you know, the Heat, that was maybe a little bit sobering, but, you know, I think you expected a good series, right? So, you know, we'll see if Dallas can do the same kind of thing tonight. But, man, I just, both hockey series, first of all, I think we're in for a series with St. Louis and Colorado, and we'll see how the Avs react. It's been all great so far, and we'll see how they react to this now on the road. And just the Panthers, man, and Vasilevsky, just, you know, they're going to win again, aren't they? Are they going to win it all again?
I mean, I think they are, yes. It's really it's really incredible the way that they could just turn. I mean, look, they were dropping like flies last night. Stamkos blocked like three shots. He had to leave the ice. He comes back in. You know, Chernak had to leave. All these guys last night. And, of course, Braden Point still dealing with his injury. And yet they go on the road and win the first two games in Florida and now are going back home up 2-0. So that's impressive stuff for the Lightning. As far as the Heat, like, I guess the good part about it, Joe, was they were down so much at the end of the first half that I just went and started doing other things and watching other stuff. I just chalked that one up to a loss.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, let's just get it out of the way. You're going to have a stinker. It is, again, we've been saying it, and I'll say it again. Like, we've had some great series. It's overall been really good, but the number of games that are blowouts, I'm really scratching my head. Like, you know, if you're a certain age, you remember every year where you just wanted the Super Bowl to be a competitive game and stop being a blowout every year. I mean, it's kind of weird.
It's very weird. Michelle Knezovic, how's it going? How are you on this Friday morning?
Doing great, guys. TGIFFF. I'm so excited that it's Friday. It's been quite a week. Fully moved into the apartment, turning the other keys in today, guys. It is just, what a day to be alive.
Big day.
And I'm going to see my friend this weekend, so I'm extra excited.
Now, your friend is not Justin Bieber.
No, okay. I'm not. I'm going to see my best friend, Caitlin. So I'm going to Pittsburgh today, and we're going to a comedy show. So very excited. Going to be in Pittsburgh this weekend. And yeah. So and then my birthday's next week.
There's a lot of stuff happening. What's the name of the comedy place you're going?
I don't know the venue it's at, but it's called, it's just a podcast we listen to. It's called Girls Gotta Eat. Just like, they're really funny, 2 30-year-old girls. They live in New York. And we bought these tickets like 7 months ago. And then I was like, we thought it was going to get canceled because of like COVID and they were canceling all the shows, but it's not. So we are going to that tonight. And then, yeah, be in Pittsburgh for the weekend. And then my birthday's next week, guys, the big 2-5.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Going to be a big one here on the program. We'll have to celebrate all week long next week, the birthday.
We should have been celebrating all month, Nesbitt. But it's
That's probably true. That is probably true.
You can ragdoll every place now.
Yeah, sorry, that's true.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, it is. It's the last milestone. Hey, you can actually do something in your 25th birthday. It's
guys,
good stuff.
No more rental cars.
Yep.
Hopefully not. So John Hines and David Poyle addressing the media yesterday, and they went for about 45 minutes. And, you know, there was, you know, I thought a few interesting things that David Poyle and John Hines talked about. Obviously, for those that were wondering if David Poile and John Hines were going to lose their job, that is not the case. John Hines, it was offered some clarification on his contract extension. It is a 2-year contract extension for John Hines. So 2 seasons added to John Hines' contract, and he comes back on that deal. So that was kind of thrown out there yesterday at the first part of the press conference. There was a lot of different things to sift through, including I thought some interesting comments from David Poile about his own job performance that we'll get to here in just a little while. But Joe, overall, what did you make of kind of the theme and the direction of the John Hines and David Poile press conference yesterday?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, the news, of course, I mean, I guess the news that they're both coming back, which is no surprise, is delivered by the fact that they have a press conference. And then the news of Hines is it's another year tacked on, you know. So it's basically like picking up the option, and then you go another year past that, which, again, like I said yesterday on the show, I mean that's fine. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we entertained the 6-year rumor from some dude on Twitter. But, you know, a 2-year extension, that's fine. And look, I would say that one of the themes, frankly, I think David Poile said in many different ways what I totally believe, which is that, like, you know, that where this team is on him and not on John Hines, you know? So I thought David Poile took responsibility pretty well. I thought some of the stuff he said about what Hines has done was pretty impactful. And then the less impressive stuff for me, because I think there was plenty of accountability and I think there was honesty. I still don't know that I, have a great feel for the plan, other than we know now for sure. There's
Did we just lose Rex Road?
We lost Rex Road.
That's fine. We'll get him back in the fold. Yeah, it was interesting. So David Poile, kind of on a couple of different occasions yesterday, took responsibility for basically the state of the roster. And one of the quotes that he threw out there was, quote, John Hines is a young coach who hasn't been dealt a perfect hand, and I am responsible for that, was one of the quotes that David Poile put out there. And he was talking about, you know, kind of the playoffs in terms of the record for John Hines as well. And he says, quote, I'm responsible. I have not given him enough to be winning. So I thought it was an interesting kind of tactic that David Poile took yesterday in terms of planning or putting that responsibility on himself. And, you know, they said a couple of times that, you know, that is going to have to be something that gets better as they move forward here. The question that we've talked about a lot here on this show and on other shows throughout this station this week has been one that Wayne, a caller, has brought up. And I think it's a good question that got asked yesterday by Joe, which was, are there any sort of salary cap restraints that you have from ownership if you're David Poile, in terms that's preventing you from spending to the cap? And David Poile pretty strongly said no, that there are no salary cap restrictions that ownership has given him. They have the ability to spend to the cap, and said that they will spend to the cap when they feel like it's necessary. So, you know, also said a little bit later in the press conference that, you know, he's thinking that maybe that's this year where they spend to the cap. So I kind of walked away from the press conference yesterday thinking that there could be a chance that they're pretty aggressive in free agency. Now, Poile did mention to bring up a few times, you know, Adam Vingan, who we'll have on later in the show, talked about the money part of this and how much room they have in the salary cap, and mentioned that, you know, if you sign Philip Forsberg, whatever that number ends up looking like, you're not going to have as much room as you do right now, obviously. So, you know, Philip Forsberg accounts for $6 million a year. Wherever that number would land, if you're able to sign Philip Forsberg, whether it's 8 or 8.5, 9, north of 9, that's a difference in your salary cap. I still think they're going to have plenty of room to operate with, and you can create some room in other ways as well. So I thought it was an interesting press conference. I think that was an important question to be asked, because, you know, I said this on the DDC the other day. I wasn't sure if ownership had given David Poile an edict to not spend to the cap, it wasn't to me like David Poile was just going to go out there and be like, yeah, well, we can't do it right now. But I was interested in the tone that he would take. And Joe, I thought that part of it was very interesting and a good question by you as it comes to the salary cap.
Yeah, again, I mean, he was emphatic, you know, that's not a thing. So, you know, that, and which, again, that's good. He also, I think, was a little bit cautioning a couple times, like, we don't have that. You know, after the podium portion of it, you know, Hines and Poile and Sean Henry, you know, were out. They took questions to the side, too. And Vingan asked, like, well, with this plethora of cap space, and Poile's like, plethora? You know, good word by Vingan. But also he's like, you know, he's like, you know, if you sign Forsberg, it's not like a huge amount, you know, a little bit cautioning there. But again, like, I guess my thing is, I don't know if I'd say surprised, but I would say that I disagree with the idea that if they lose Forsberg, that 100% the plan should be, okay, then who's taking his place and go from there. I think that, I think that the question of a deeper reset should at least be on the table.
Rough and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on David Poile and John Hines with their press conference yesterday, including, I thought, some pretty interesting comments from David Poile on the state of the Predators fan base. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
David, do you have any constraints financially from ownership?
No.
You're able to spend
the cap? No. I'm glad you kind of asked that question because we were below the cap by a fair bit this year. The owners have been fantastic, and we can and will go to the cap when it is appropriate and necessary. Just being honest with you, I did not feel that this was the time or year to get there to do that in terms of any of the deals that we had ever talked about, you know, specifically at the trading deadline. It just had a way that the price of acquisition versus the assets that it cost us, it had nothing to do with money. It had more to do with the assets, like trading Lauzon for a second pick. I mean, where we are in our rebuilding process, that's a tough gulp. But he was a restricted free agent that we believe is going to be here for a number of years. The other deals that we were the closest on were, you know, your first round pick and for a rental or what have you. And rightly or wrongly, decided not to do that, just like not trading Forsberg, because we're trying to sign him. We're not making the playoffs if I traded Forsberg for a first round pick. And that's why we did it, and we hope to sign Philip. And just, you know, same thing, I did not want to give up a first round pick for a rental. I wanted to give more opportunities out. I'm not trying to pick on specific players, but we played, and the coach played Tolvin, and he played kind of, and, you know, and we stayed with our groups that kind of brought us to the dance. Whether that was right or wrong, it just did not feel like this was going to be a Stanley Cup year. As I said in my comments, it was progress, but we have more growth that we have to make to get us to that level.
That was David Poile yesterday at the season-ending press conference for the Nashville Predators. David Poile and John Hines discussing answers and questions for about 45 minutes in the formal part yesterday, then broke off to the side for a little bit more. So a little bit more than an hour of questions yesterday for John Hines and for David Poile. And David Poile discussing the salary cap there and the cap room freedom that the Predators have to spend to the cap, and says basically they still have the green light from ownership to spend to the cap if that's what they choose to do. But David Poile did not feel last year was the time to do that. And we'll see if that changes coming up this offseason with some decisions to make. Joe, to that point, one of the things that they said repeatedly that, you know, is kind of like a no-duh moment for me, but it was interesting how much they repeated it in terms of, you know, just how obvious it is with this group right now. The second line's got to have some additions. And they singled out Luke Cunningham and Ellie Tolvanen multiple times yesterday in terms of players that obviously did not live up to the billing this year, but said multiple times that, you know, they don't have enough punch on the second line was the term that they used, and maybe going out and getting some support there could be something that they do this offseason, whether that's via free agency or via trade as well. So, I mean, Joe, I kind of came away yesterday thinking about in terms of this offseason, outside of purely just the Forsberg part of this, let's say they bring him back into the fold, they're absolutely going to be looking to add to the top six.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt there. Some real interest, just in that sound bite right there, some real interesting stuff. So essentially, he said they were very close to trading a first-round pick for a forward. That's how I took it. Now, of course, what he didn't say, I'd love to know, who would that have been? Who was the rental? Who was the rental in question? I'd love to know that. Also, that Robbie brings up, I think, actually a failure, now that I think about it, to follow up. And, you know, look, it was a packed presser yesterday, so, like, you know, nobody's getting many questions in, right? Like, I mean, it was no. competitive getting questions in. I think Jared got cut off like five times yesterday. I think Kayla smoked him twice, but the follow up on that is, because what did he also say in that quote? We didn't think this was a Stanley Cup kind of team. So, you know, basically, if you're gonna go all in, you know, send a first-round pick to someone for a forward, you're doing that because you think you can win it that year. So yeah. I don't think he was wrong in that decision. But then the follow-up that wasn't asked is, then why did you send a second-round pick for Jeremy Lozada? Now, again, I understand, you know, if he hangs in here long-term and he ends up being a solid player, okay. But I still think that move kind of stands out as kind of a weird one.
It does. And, you know, he brought that up in those comments in terms of that being something that was kind of a gulp for them to do and to give up a second round pick. But, you know, the rationale that he's talked about was he's a restricted free agent and contractually he's under their control. To me, the question with that move really boils down to, let's say Jeremy Lozon comes back and he is, you know, a steady third pair defenseman for the next 2-3 years. For the Predators, is that worth a second round pick? Is a third pair defenseman worth a second round pick? I mean, I guess if he's a good player, a good steady option, and your third pair gets shored up for the next 2-3 years, then maybe you could argue that it is. But I think that was a heavy price to give up on that front. So I agree, just kind of a weird move there from the Predators. Joe, another thing that I found to be pretty interesting yesterday, and we'll get to the John Hines part of this here in just a few minutes, but David Poile was asked by Jared about, you know, fan apathy in terms of, is that a concern for him? And he had kind of an interesting response at the podium saying, you know, I hope not. It's not something that he's really picked up on if it is fan apathy, and had kind of a deeper response when you guys broke off with him over there at the huddle. I was over talking to John Hines at that time, but it was an interesting response that David Poile had about the fan apathy part of this when it comes to where this fan base is right now.
Yeah, I definitely transcribed it, and it's in my column that's going to run at the Athletic. But, you know, basically, like, well, Vic, to him, to paraphrase it, you know, he said, I see what you're saying. Basically, what I asked him was, I said, okay, on the empathy thing, you didn't sense any different atmosphere, you know, with the Colorado games here? Because I did. And he said, I see what you're saying, but, you know, we were so overmatched. You know, it's like basically this, and I think there's some truth to this, like the state of the series, the reality of the series, you know, it's like, like, it was hard for people to maintain their energy, essentially. I think there's, I mean, again, I think that's probably true to an extent, but I don't think that's all of it, right? I don't know. I mean, and he also said in there, you tell me that we have 6,000 people, a night coming to games, okay, then I'll entertain the idea of fan apathy. And, I hear that. It's not like it's some huge fall off right now. Again, some of this is just the conversation, right? And that got into a really interesting thing with Poile too, off to the side, you know, kind of joking about Twitter, right? I mean, talking about Twitter, and of course, David Poile's not on Twitter, and I believe that. Like, I actually don't think David Poile has a burner. Okay, like,
I don't think he does either.
Yeah. So, and he said, and again, I'm sort of now I'm trying to remember the exact comments, but he's like, okay, so someone complains, is it some guy in Alaska? Is it a 10-year-old kid? You know, to which I said, yeah, but there's a lot of other obviously ways to interact with fans, which is part of my job, and I think people are, you know, aren't happy. He made this point. He said, 10 years ago, before you got here, we didn't have this because he actually said, like, we were irrelevant in Nashville, you know, like, that compared to, he used that term, you know, compared to now. So,
yeah.
Essentially saying it's a good thing to have, like, angry fans, which I agree with that, too. But, you know, you also need to, like, listen to them when they're upset and what are they trying to tell you.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point that Jared brought up yesterday as well on Stillman and Company, was just talking about, is there really apathy? Because I don't know that the Predators gotten to apathy yet, because I think the fan base, I would describe it more as upset than anything. And upset,
yeah,
I always contend, is better than apathy. Like, apathy is when you're looking around and there's 13,000 people in the crowd and the Predators lose in the first round of the playoffs and nobody really cares. And to that point, I mean, Poile is right. Back in the day, there was, you know, your hardcore Preds fan base that obviously has always cared, but the sheer size of, number one, the city, but number two, certainly the fan base has changed dramatically since then. So I agree. Like, I don't think that there's apathy right now. The question that I have is, how long is it going to take the Predators to dig themselves out of this spot in the middle right now? Because it's very easy for me to see how, if you have a few more years of this where you're good enough to compete and make the playoffs, but you're not good enough to truly be a Stanley Cup contender, and you're also not bad enough to tear everything down and rebuild, that to me is where apathy can start to set in, where you're just like, okay, this team is a middling team. There's really no path to them getting out from being a middling team. And that's, to me, when apathy could start to set in.
Right. And it's also the perception of, you know, like, what is acceptable, right? I mean, and this is where I will argue on behalf of David Poile, you know, essentially the idea of, you know, like these guys are fine just being okay. They just want to make the playoffs, whatever. Again, if you want to look at the ownership group and say, you know, there's a financial baseline, and if they get to that, they're fine. Obviously, you want as many playoff games as you can. You know, I mean, if you're an ownership group or an owner, then the bottom line matters. And in this sport, again, you're not printing money, right, like in other sports. But for Poile, that's not – I mean, no one should be confused on Poile's motivation. I don't think – I mean, I'm not sure Poile's still doing this if he isn't all in to get a Stanley Cup, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's about making the right choices and giving yourself a chance to do that. But, I mean, Poile, in particular, is not like, yeah, I just want to be okay, just have a playoff team every year and just keep my job, just sit around, and yay. I mean, that's not his mindset. You know, the question is just, can he get them to where they want to get, he wants to get, the fan base wants to get.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on David Poile and John Hines, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
Questions about our identity. And I think we answered almost all of those. I mean, we're in the entertainment business. I'm a fan of the game. And I will tell you when I don't think our team is playing hard. And I will tell you if I don't think we're entertaining. But this year, Vezina Trophy candidate, the best defenseman in the league. 240 goal scorers. We never had anybody score more than 34 goals. A rookie that gets into the conversation for the rookie of the year and scores the most goals by a rookie. Mark Borowicki, he couldn't hardly play last year with all the things that were going on, some physical, a lot mentally, which you talked about, coming back and being, I don't know, an unbelievable leader on our team and give it every night, like to the point of like, I'm sitting like, don't do that anymore, because it was just unbelievable how much he brought in passion to our game, and the leadership situation, which I should mention. Like, you know, we made it. You know, you make a transition. You have somebody like Yossi be your captain. I would be the first to tell you that, you know, probably doesn't come natural to him in terms of his personality or whatever. But I can tell you, his growth has been unbelievable. And when I do, and we did our interviews, you know, this past week, and I do it more on seniority, so we do all the young guys first. Every one of those guys went out of their way to tell me how great our leadership was. They started with Yost, they went to Eki, and, you know, Joey, and Phil. It was, you know, kind of music to my ear. So I have never, that word, that thought has never entered my mind that there's apathy with our fans. I think our fans are fantastic. I'm so proud of this organization in terms of our growth, all the stuff that's happening here. I would cheer for our team. I really would. I'm trying to remove myself. It's progress. It's hard to win. I'm sorry that we haven't won. I want to win so badly, but we're trying and we're making improvement. I think we're on the right track.
That was David Poile yesterday at the season-ending press conference for the Nashville Predators. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, what did you make of that response by David Poile, particularly kind of that last part of, you know, basically apologizing that they haven't won yet, but that they're trying, and, you know, if he was a fan, he would be rooting for this team. It was kind of an interesting tangent that David Poile went on in that response yesterday.
Yeah, and I think he kind of revisited that a few times too. Like, basically, you know, he wanted to make clear a few times, you know, it's not good enough for us. We're not satisfied. Stick with us. I mean, that's sort of a theme. So, again, I thought that I thought there was accountability. And I thought that he was pretty revealing. I wasn't surprising. David Poile usually is. I mean, if you get him in a setting like that, again, like, well, think about 4 years ago, the famous or infamous, you know, the guys basically all, you know, all asked, like, please keep this together after that loss to Winnipeg. And Poile basically said, I mean, as I recall that press conference, it sounded like maybe he was entertaining a little bit more change than, you know, than they wanted, and that they sort of changed his mind. I don't know. Maybe you remember it differently, but not change his mind like he was going to all of a sudden just tear it apart. But like basically that them coming to him and saying keep it together made a big impact on him. Like, look, yeah, there's a lot of GMs who wouldn't even go into those conversations, right? I mean, yeah. You know, so I think Poile, like, he is revealing and honest. And again, I thought he had a lot of interesting comments. I mean, the prevailing question is just for Predators fans, like, what's your confidence level in him? You now, even if you were 100% on the side of you have to fire him, I mean, at this point, I think everybody should have, you know, figured out, and like, you have to be in the acceptance phase, you know, that he's staying. So what's your confidence level that he can figure this out? Because it's just a difficult spot to get out of where they are, which of course starts with number nine. Everything starts with number nine now.
Let's go to our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Frank on the text line says, David's response to the succession plan question was telling. He's the GM until he decides he's not, and ownership is fine with that. This is coming from Frank on the text line. To that point, Joe, it was a couple of interesting things on that. Number one, David Poile did say in his opening statement that basically ownership has charged he and Sean Henry with running the franchise and that they're all on the same page about the direction that the team is heading. So it sounds like ownership, from what Poile said, is totally on board with David Poile and with John Hines and with the way that things are going right now. Number two, it was a good question from Jared about the succession plan and whether or not Brian Poile is a part of that. Now, David Poile said, no, there is not a succession plan, and it's not involving Brian Poile at this point. You know, I don't know how much I take away from that. Like, even if there is a succession plan, and Elliot Friedman, I think, put it pretty well yesterday on the DDC, there's probably no way they haven't at least talked about this in terms of what's going to happen after David Poile's gone and when he decides to leave. I think even if there's a full plan in place, David Poile's probably not talking about it right now, but it was at least I thought a good job by Jared of asking that question and putting that out there on the record yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good question. And I think a pretty clear response on Brian in particular, you know, like that's not the plan. And honestly, I've kind of moved off that as believing that that's, you know, where things are going. I don't know where things are going. Again, it's like, you know, it's such an odd conversation in pro sports, you know, like you're a GM, like GMs and coaches don't just stay forever and then pick their successors. You know, owners do, you know, the kids take over the team. But that's where this is just a unique situation. I mean, to even discuss that, I mean, let me ask you this, Robbie. So this exact scenario, let's say, you know, I mean, let's just say the last 5 years of what has happened with the Nashville Predators, which again, they continue to go to the playoffs. But of course, you know, it's been a 5-year overall decline, kind of a big nosedive. You know, it's been a little bit of a winding road. But given that entire thing of the other franchises in the NHL, how many of them would have retained David Poile still through all this? Your guess.
The list is not long. I mean, probably less than 10 would be my guess.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe a handful.
Yeah.
So so from that perspective, you know, if you're a Predators fan, you look around the league. Now, you could also make the case, well, in this league, they fire too quickly at times. Certainly, I think with coaches, I think that's true. So, like, there's something to be said for continuity, but there's also something to be said for just a fresh, you know, fresh eyes and just a clean slate. And I think the biggest concern beyond, you know, just this move or that move in the last few years is just over the duration of a very good career here, you know, the forward, the finding and developing of forwards has been so underwhelming. Why is that going to get way better in the next few years?
It's a great question. And I thought an interesting part that I guess I didn't expect to come up, but a good question by Chase was, are you open to, if you're David Poile, maybe bringing in some outside voices to the organization and making them a part of the front office? And Poile was basically like, yeah, like he's thought about that. And that could be something that they do. So I'm interested on that front. Number one, who would that be? What would that role look like? And, you know, how open is David Poile to doing something like that? I'm interested to see, could there be some voices coming in from the outside of this organization that joined the front office? And if so, who would that be and what role would they serve?
Yeah, no, it's and of course, you know, the name Barry Trotz comes to mind. If Barry Trotz doesn't end up taking a coaching job, which he's going to have his pick of those. But, I mean, that's who I thought of when Chase asked that question.
You've got the Winnipeg interview that's already taking place for the head coaching position for Barry Trotz, and apparently he is interviewing with Philadelphia today. So he's going to have his chance to go wherever he wants. just does he want to go there? That's the ultimate question. So I guess we'll find out on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on David Poile and John Hines, the season-ending press conference yesterday from the Predators. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
I guess to clarify that, if you aren't able to sign him, does that make you think a deeper rebuild is necessary?
No, I like where we're going and the changes that we've made. We've gone from, you know, one of the oldest teams in the league to one of the youngest teams in the league. I think we've made some hard decisions on some of the more veteran players, the guys specifically that were with us in our cup run and the President's Trophy, Ellis and Arvidsson. For example, plus others, and just as I just said, there's nine players remaining that were on our roster when John first took over. So I think and feel that we're going in the right direction in terms of these younger players on our team, like Carrier and Favreau, are getting more ice time. And we made a change from Pekarinen to Saros. We've now signed Askarov, who the goalie of the future. We've worked in training on a more regular basis, and he is part of the herd line. Tanner Chenault gets 24 goals this past year in the running for the rookie of the year. We need some other guys to step up. A couple guys had tough years, like Kahn and Tolan probably didn't live up to their expectations. And to be successful, you need everybody. So we have holes in our lineup for sure that we need to get better and improve, but I think we're on the right track to get in there.
That was David Poile yesterday at the press conference. And Joe, it's interesting. I thought some interesting comments on Philip Forsberg. You know, Poile didn't want to go down that road too much yesterday in terms of how negotiations are going. He did say to open his press conference that there is mutual interest between the Predators and Philip Forsberg to sign a contract. I don't think there's really anything new there, but did also mention that's plan A, but there is plan B and C and D that the Predators need to and have come up with in case it doesn't work out with Philip Forsberg. So, I mean, I don't know that I feel necessarily any differently about the Forsberg part of this today than I did yesterday before the press conference in terms of whether or not he's going to be signed. Did you read into that one way or the other with Philip Forsberg yesterday in terms of the comments made by David Poile?
Well, you know, what did I say, 53-47 yesterday?
You did.
I might be 52-48 now.
Okay.
I'm going to drop the percentage. So, I wrote about Poile at the Athletic. We kind of split things up. Vingan wrote about Hines. I wrote about Poile. And so Forsberg is one of the other things I asked him. Basically, it was just like, so, you know, because he talked at the press conference about it, right, a couple times. But I asked him, like, where is that? And part of the quote, maybe he wants to go to free agency, see what's out there. I can't prevent him from doing that. I can only put my best foot forward. If we got to the number that was satisfactory, then he would sign here. And then I followed up with that. I was like, well, what about no movement? He's like, well, so I said something like, so no movement's not a thing? He's like, well, I'm not saying that, but we've talked about this before, right? Essentially, you got to get to the number before you even get to the no movement. So they're not even to the no movement.
Yeah.
They're not at the number. So, you know, and here's more of a quote, is I can't control where we are. Quote, I can't control where we are. My control was to trade him or not trade him for the trading deadline. I told you my feeling there. I truly believe Philip wants to play here. And he said that a few times. Truly believe Philip wants to be here. There's mutual interest. And, you know, Philip said the same thing. Doesn't mean it'll happen, though. So I guess I come away like, okay, so is it just a little bit more of a waiting game? And then, all right, I'm buckling. Here's the number. Is that what's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Elliot Friedman was on the DDC yesterday, and I don't think this is necessarily anything earth-shattering, but he said basically last time that he heard that the number for the Predators is just way too high, and it's not something that they want to go to. So
you say, in other words, Phillips' number is too high for
Phillips' numbers is way too high for the Predators is basically the terminology that Friedman used yesterday on the DDC. Again, if you've not agreed on the number, that would be my guess that the number that Forsberg wants is a number that the Predators are not yet willing to go to. So I don't think that's anything earth shattering there. I guess my question is, like, at what point, if you're either the Predators or if you're JP Barry and Philip Forsberg, do you come off of whatever number you're at right now? Because it's getting close to the point where one of them's going to have to do it.
Well, why would Forsberg? I mean, I don't know
why he would at this point.
I don't expect them to. I mean, I think this is going to, I think, because they now have the leverage. So, as Poile acknowledged there. So, I mean, I think this is going to come down to, is David Poile willing to make that leap? And this is like, if we just knew the number, we'd know which side to yell at, you know? Like, if Forsberg's like, nope, 8 for 10, 10 over 8, it's like, now, come on, man. You're, come on. But if, you know, if Poile won't go, like, say, over 8, then that's, you know, that to me, that's on him. You got to be realistic there too. I mean, you've hit the sweet spot. I think you're exactly right. You know, 8.5 is probably the sweet spot, something in there. 9, to me, like that, I mean, that's kind of what I think we're going to find out, is that David Poile went to 9 and didn't want to go to 9, went to 9. It's 8x9, $72 million guaranteed, done. And then, by the way, then they have to figure out the no movement if they get there. If that's what it is, then I think it makes sense on both sides. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is like the sweet spot. It's a little more than you'd want to pay him. It's going to hurt in the last few years of the deal. But it makes sense to me. If Forsberg is out there talking 8 figures, then I don't know what you do. But I would have a hard time giving him 10 over 8 years.
I'm not doing that if you're the Predators. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tony from Cottontown texting in says, I was most impressed with John Hines' answers yesterday and taking some responsibility for losing and lack of performance. Overall, as a diehard fan, if we make the playoffs, I expect to lose in the first round again or get lucky and play worse enough to make it to the second round. We'll go no further. I think adding one or two players, however good they are, is not going to make that much of a difference with this team. This coming from Tony from Cottontown. Well, I mean, let me know who those two players are. I can tell you whether I think they're going to make a difference or not. But I did come away thinking that the Predators are going to – they're going to add some pieces yesterday.
Right, which if you sign Forsberg, you have enough room, you make good choices, and you have some of these young guys who didn't have banner seasons have banner seasons – and Yossi's still great. Yossi's going to be great, but, like, you know, is Yossi going to have that kind of year? Okay, let's say Yossi just has a Yossi year. Duchesne, I mean, one thing that kind of gets lost yesterday, Poile's like, I see Duchesne and Forsberg having 50 goals. I'm like, take it easy there. Take it easy. You know, how about 60?
I mean, Forsberg did go cold at the end of the year, so maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, all these things, line up all your best case scenarios, and including the players that you find fit perfectly and come in and are just terrific fits. Okay. I mean, that's a team that could do something in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
But that's a lot of ifs, a whole bunch of them. And again, if you don't sign number 9, I mean, you're still in the same situation with, okay, you still have Yossi and Ekholm and Duchesne and Johansson, where like it's a good, you know, it's a pretty good core, and you don't, like, are you just going to just waste them? I think what you do is you start talking about who you can move if you can't sign Forsberg, but that doesn't seem to be, you know, the thinking seems to be lose Forsberg, replace Forsberg, then add from there. And, you know, then if that happens and you don't make the playoffs next year, then what are we talking about a year from now?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. Max in Kentucky on the text line says, what are the Preds missing that teams who have decades-long consistency have? This is coming from Max in Kentucky.
Who's that?
Well, I mean, I guess it's Pittsburgh. Like if you're Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so what you're missing.
Yeah.
But I mean, consistency is not really the problem for the Predators. They're one of the most consistent teams in the league.
Absolutely. I was going to say consistency is their friend. That word is their friend. You know? And again, like even with Pittsburgh, there's been, you know, some pretty significant ups and downs in that stretch. But like you said, you got Crosby, you got a chance. And it's been Crosby and Malkin for a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't even know who else would we be talking about there who have decades of consistency. I mean, the Blackhawks are garbage now, but they have the cups. The Wings are garbage, you know? They have cups, although that's going back.
Always. I mean, the Wings for a while did have decades long consistency, and then the salary cap came in, and
exactly,
things started to change a little bit. So, look, it really, this has gotten lost in this discussion, and I understand why, because people are tired of it and they're ready to win big, and I understand that, and I don't disagree with it. It is it's pretty impressive the consistency the Predators have had. They made the playoffs, I think, 15 out of the last 18 years. That's very difficult to do.
Yep.
So that's impressive. I understand that that's no longer good enough, and that's not what fans are looking for. And I'm not saying that they should be. I mean, you should be wanting to take that next step and compete for a Stanley Cup. So, but let's not get lost in the consistency part of it here. They've been very consistent. A lot of some fans think that's the problem. I think they should tank and bottom out and be less consistent.
Well, exactly. Because you know, if your consistency is like consistently pretty good at some point, okay, that's enough. But especially though, when you have that uprising, you know, when you have 5 years ago, you gain fans, you have this incredible run, everyone gets a taste of it. And then it's like, okay, so why can't that become the regular thing? Very difficult to do in this league, but look. With better choices in the wake of that, maybe they could have come back there. That's the problem, you know, is that there were a lot of swings and misses, a lot of losses, a lot more L's than W's for Poile in that time in the wake of that run.
We'll get to more of your thoughts on John Hines and David Poile throughout the show today. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into maybe one of my favorite things that's ever happened in the history of college football that took place yesterday. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 106.3 The Game.